Lower by the bell, the Nikkei in Japan down 1.8%, the Hang Seng down 3%. U.S. futures contracts are also sharply lower. This is NPR.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio. It's time for the Monday Morning Business News Analysis with Brian Ford of RBC Wealth Management. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. More about the pain in Spain. Now bring us up to date on that.
Well, Wayne, this is starting to sound like a bad joke, you know. But let me, before this intro, and say we had a pretty flat week overall last week in the major markets.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, we're still sitting on pretty decent gains for the year, year-to-date for stock investors. But you're right. The European focus continues to be the pain in Spain. You know, there was quite a long time we talked about Greece, and then we've talked about the problems in Italy. Well, Spain is now most in central focus. There worries about more bailouts needed for their banks. I heard today that Spain's two largest banks have more in assets than the country's total GDP. Thus, I don't think you can count on their government to bail them out. The bond yields in Spain remain concerningly high. The world's eyes will also be on London this week, but maybe not for the reason you think, Wayne. There'll be ongoing hearings about the manipulation in LIBOR. Have you heard about this?
I've heard about it. I can't say I even know what that acronym stands for.
Well, we'll talk about that in future weeks. It stands for the London Interbank Offering Rate, and it's a interest rate that's set to cover many financial transactions around the world, and there's big manipulation in there potentially by Barclays Bank. But, you know, you thought it might have been about the Olympics opening ceremonies on Friday. I bet you thought that.
Well, that would have been my first guess, yeah.
But basically, the LIBOR manipulation case is causing a skeptical view of many other financial data around the world, not to mention China's GDP, which is coming under increasing scrutiny for analysts' ability to decipher what's reality there. I also note, Wayne, for the record, that the U.S. 10-year Treasury bond, I've been charting this sort of dark humor, if you will, set an all-time low today, trading at 1.43%.
Wow. Well, as you said, it was kind of a flat week on Wall Street. What are the current prospects?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a local company, if I could, Capital One.
Right, yeah, that was something I certainly wanted to ask you about. Well, let's go to that then.
All right.
Capital One,
sure.
The Richmond area's largest private employer,
yep.
Paid a big fine to the federal government.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Unfortunately, Capital One's famous tagline, "What's in your wallet," has now become "Who's in your wallet?" And the answer is the federal government. Virginia-based Capital One, as you mentioned, one of Richmond's largest private employers, announced last week they were paying out $210 million to settle allegations that their call center vendors had misled customers into buying certain add-on features. Now, to Capital One's credit, they admitted poor oversight of their vendors and are trying to establish credibility with their customers as quickly as possible. But Capital One has had a lot on its plate recently, as they've acquired the assets of the ING Online Banking and the U.S. credit card business of London-based HSBC Bank. Well, here's how the penalties broke down. $150 million of that will simply be refunded to customers, and $60 million of that will be paid in fines, $25 million of which goes to the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This is their first major enforcement, if you will. Regulators did not single out Capital One and said they expect to levy fines against other card issuers soon. As you might expect, the fines hurt Capital One's earnings, which they just released last week. Hurt them a lot. The company reported a 90% drop in profit from this time in 2011. However, revenue was up over 25% year over year. And believe it or not, Wayne, Capital One stock reached a 52-week high on Thursday. The stock is up over 30% year-to-date. Why? Maybe investors were impressed their revenue did well despite all the problems, and they feel the worst is behind the company.
Hmm. All right. Well, earnings reports continue to come out. What are they showing?
Well, earnings are big this week. Here's what you need to know. Targets for many companies were set very low heading into this quarter, so it's not surprising expectations are being exceeded. So far, about 70% of the companies reporting have exceeded their low profit estimates, but here's the rub, Wayne. Only 40% of companies have exceeded in revenue or sales. That's a sign that raw demand or organic growth is slowing. This week, we're going to hear from a number of blue chippers, Apple, Facebook, McDonald's, Pepsi, Merck, Caterpillar, ExxonMobil, Chevron. We'll get a better feel for how the consumer is doing, too. Guidance for the third and fourth quarters of 2012 is critical. Obviously, what does the rest of the year look like for European operations, Asia's growth, taxes, healthcare, etc.? Some analysts believe that estimates will need to go down further. There's sort of a perverse way of thinking for some analysts right now, Wayne. Some see bad earnings as good because it might lead to quicker Federal Reserve stimulus, also called QE3. Now, is that good or not? Clearly, the quick fixes are proven to be less effective the more we get.
One sign of the changing times is the way Americans acquire and buy their groceries. Big changes in the grocery industry.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is a sign of the times. I noted a former local company in the news, grocery chain Super Value. You may recall years ago bought Richmond-based Rich Food Holdings. Grocery stores in general have had a tough time lately competing with high-end specialty stores on one end and a ton of competitors on the low end, including dollar stores and pharmacies. Even Walmart gets over half their revenue from groceries these days. So you wouldn't expect a company like Super Value to blow out their numbers, but wow. They reported terrible earnings last week. They have not had positive sales in over 5 years. Bottom line, a company like Super Value is eliminating its dividend, considering a sale of the company. The sad tally, Super Value bought Rich Food 13 years ago when Rich Food was over $22 a share. Last week, they were trading just about $2 a share.
Definitely a change in...
big sea change in the way we get our groceries. Yeah, and in fact, it's maybe been one reason why the U-Crops even got out of their supermarket business.
Okay, thanks to Brian Ford. It's 840.